Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk. So welcome back to the In Hope Podcast. Today, really exciting. We're actually going to be getting into conversation with Andrew from Inspire Idaho. This is a ministry out here in the Boise metro area of Idaho, and they're doing something amazing with helping youth that have gone up through the foster care system. I'll let him give more details in that, but this is an opportunity. Something that's really cool here is that this is our first time doing this, and we had an anonymous giver who said they wanted to bless some ministries, and Inspire Idaho was one of those. And so we have a challenge today for our unifiers out there, and you can share with family and friends, spread the word, especially if you have a heart for youth, those coming up through foster care. You have a heart for this. You're going to want to hear this, because every single dollar given up to $500 is going to be doubled and go towards what Inspire Idaho is trying to do. Thanks to this anonymous donor, they said up to $500, they're going to double that. They're going to match it. And so our goal is to get Inspire Idaho $1,000 to go towards some of the great things that they're doing. And Andrew's going to be able to tell us more about that. So you guys already know who we are. Preach, Brandon, nobody special.
Hey.
So let's go ahead.
Nobody special. That's true, though.
I disagree.
Right.
The only special one is Jesus. Let's go.
Put
on the extra humble hat today.
I'm so humble, right? So let's go ahead. Andrew, would love for you to just introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself personally, and then we're going to just start digging into what Inspire Idaho does and how the unity in the body of Christ really helps that mission, and how we can rally around it. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Thanks so much for this opportunity, guys. Really excited to be with you, and excited to share a little bit about Inspire. I'm not sure how far back in my story you want to go, but
hey, if we need to go to day and time of birth, then whatever you feel like is good to share.
Man, yeah, I was blessed to be raised in a home with parents who loved the Lord and going to church, and super grateful for that. And that's something that when it comes to the youth that we work with, not a lot of them have experienced. So. Yeah. Truly blessed in that way. I moved around a lot as I was growing up. My dad worked for the federal government. So I was born in Montana, lived a couple different places there. I was in a small town in Utah for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then we were here in Boise for 8 years. So this is where I lived the longest growing up. We moved here when I was 9, and then we left when I was 17.
Okay.
And so it's interesting, especially coming back to Boise, like seeing all the things that I was unaware of, even though I lived here for so long, particularly when it comes to foster youth.
Yeah.
They tend to be kind of an under the radar, almost like a hidden people group.
That is so true. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so my senior year of high school, we moved to New Mexico. I ended up going to college there, met my wife there.
Nice.
And we lived in Texas for a couple years, and then kind of felt the Lord maybe pulling on our heart to get into some sort of some kind of ministry. And then we got connected with a global missions organization called Youth with a Mission, or YWAM.
Familiar with them.
And so we applied for a discipleship training school, which is kind of the first step with YWAM in Australia. So that was going to be a
down under
for us.
Okay.
Yeah. So we went there. Our school started in January of 2020. It was supposed to be a 6-month program where we'd be in Australia for 3 months, and then we would go on outreach for 3 months.
Okay.
And then, we all know what happened in March of 2020. So things fell
Everybody
apart with that pretty quick.
Grateful
for the 2 months that we did get in Australia.
But okay.
Ended up coming back and was like, okay, Lord.
Yeah, exactly.
What's next? So we were just kind of back with our families at the time, and just trying to pray about what was next for us. And I just started reaching out to YWAM bases here in the U.S. and just asking if they had any ongoing ministry going on that they could use help with.
Yeah.
And the YWAM base in Boise, Idaho was the only one that got back to us.
Oh, wow.
So, I still had some connections here from when I had lived here before. So I was like, we prayed about it. I was like, okay, I guess we're going to Boise.
And you talk about God opening the right doors and mm-hmm. closing the ones. I mean, that's a prayer. I don't know if anybody else prays this regularly, but I'll pray that regularly. It's just opening the right doors mm-hmm. and closing the ones that he doesn't want us to walk through.
And if it's only one door, then that helps.
I know, right?
Like, oh, that's the one. All right,
yep, there it is. There it is. So that's interesting. I find it interesting that you were here, you said, from about 9 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
And those, to me, are such formative years when you look back on growing up, right? That 9 to 7. Now, there's some people, my wife, she can remember who her kindergarten teacher was. Mm-hmm. I am horrible. I can't tell you any of them. But I feel like I barely remember elementary, mm-hmm. you know, ages. But so if I look back to growing up and things that really helped form me as a kid growing up, I would be looking pretty much around that age. So to know that this is where you were around that age, did it almost feel like going back home in a sense? Or
it did, yeah. You know? Yeah, of course, the area had changed a lot since that time. there are definitely some changes, but especially with some of the people that I had stayed in touch with.
Yeah.
It was neat to be able to reconnect with them.
Yeah.
And, normally when you move to a new place, you kind of have to start from scratch with building community. And so it helped to already have some friends here that we could connect with.
Oh, I bet. That's so important. So to tell us when you guys came back out here, you came through connection with YWAM.
Mm-hmm.
How did that end up with you at Inspire Idaho? What happened there?
Yeah, so we spent about 2.5 years on staff with YWAM here.
Okay.
And we were working with refugees who had been resettled in the Boise area,
talking
about another people group that when I was growing up here had no idea that Boise was a resettlement city.
We have a lot of refugees out here.
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah.
No, I think
that can go under
that.
The radar as
Definitely.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So my eyes were really open to that. Like mm-hmm. I've always had a huge heart for the nations and for missions. So we got to work with refugees for 2 years.
Nice.
Led some youth Bible study. Worked with a lot of Afghan refugees who are resettled here in 2021 and 2022.
Wow.
Just an honor getting to know them and hear their stories. And
I bet.
And pretty special. And in that process, I got connected with John Mitchell, the guy who started Inspire Idaho.
Okay.
And he came and presented to our YWAM team about the organization that he mm-hmm. was in the process of starting and kind of what his heart was for that. And my wife and I just realized there was a lot of shared values and a lot of overlap with what we were hoping to do with refugees and what he was wanting to do with foster youth.
Yeah.
And that just led to continuing to get to know John and mm-hmm. continuing the conversation. And then we started out as volunteers, so we both went through the mentor training process mm-hmm. that all of our mentors go through.
Yeah,
nice. So we were one of the first. We were in one of the first groups for that training, and then my wife actually led the first Inspire Idaho workshop, which we can talk more about how workshops work. But this one was about cooking.
Come on now.
Yeah, she's really got a passion for that and has some culinary training and
so what year was
working in restaurants and stuff like that. So she
what
got
year
to
was
the,
that?
This was 2022.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah. She did a great job with that workshop. We started getting to know some of the youth mm-hmm. and then eventually John started talking to me about potentially coming on staff.
Yeah.
And, first it was in a part-time capacity. So mm-hmm. I was doing both YWAM and Inspire Idaho for a while. And then, as the organization grew, a full-time opportunity opened up.
Yeah.
And, we prayed about that and, felt that that was the next step the Lord had for us. And so I've been full time since January 2024. So,
okay.
Yeah, 2 years now.
Exactly. So, man. Okay. And now, what is your role now full time?
Yeah. So my title is Director of Operations, but okay. I'm kind of the catch-all logistics guy.
So you're the youth pastor.
Yeah.
In a way, yeah. But I plan all of our workshops and events, help organize and train our volunteers, and equip them to excel in their roles.
Yeah.
Do a lot of the, just admin and logistics that needs to happen for a nonprofit to be able to function.
Exactly.
And,
yeah. Yeah.
We've got a team of three, soon to be four, in February on staff now, and it's neat to see how the Lord's gifted all of us differently. And
I love the admin people.
Compliment one another, and
I love the admin people because that's not who I am.
Oh yeah, there is so much administrative function that happens within
any organization. Yeah.
But also within nonprofits that I think. I think our term for this podcast is going to be under the radar. That goes under the radar, where people don't realize how much goes in administratively to things that have to happen. And it's
very important.
It's so important and so overlooked. And so I think, are any of those people going to be helping pick up some of those admin roles, or at least I imagine if they're going over specific areas and they're going to help pick up the admin that would have went with that area?
Maybe in some ways. We're kind of working through the different roles and what they all look like now. It's been neat with a new organization. It's kind of like going to a startup. Like
you get
an opportunity to really craft what it looks like.
It's like planning a church.
And it's trial and error and
absolutely
and just kind of figuring it out. And you know that seems like early church type of deal, right? Like trial and error, let's figure it out, we're going this way, oh nope, new direction, and just kind of adjusting as you go. And with that, I feel like there automatically becomes this dependence that we have to have on God, because we don't know all the answers.
Definitely.
And so and we're in this place, I mean, it's a place of humility, really, where it's like we're trying to figure it out.
Definitely. One of our core values as an organization is humility. And that's been so key for us in our process, not only with how we function as an organization, but how we engage with the youth and learning from them as to what's actually helpful. Like what do they actually need? And that's been a huge learning process too.
I bet.
And we continue to learn as we go along.
Oh yeah. And it adjusts, right? And no two youth are going to be the same. No generation to generation, things are rapidly changing. So there's always some adjustment and learning there.
Absolutely.
So man, I'm sorry, Brent. I just keep jumping in.
That's all right. Yeah. You're asking all the right questions, Nathaniel. You're good.
You go ahead. You go ahead. You probably have something.
Oh, well, the next question would just be like, what is the goal? Like, what's Inspire Idaho trying to accomplish? Yeah.
Yeah, great question. So we're all about personal mentoring. So we're a deeply relational mentoring organization. And everything we do is with the goal of connecting foster youth with our adult trained, trauma-informed, Jesus-following mentors who will walk with them through life and help them determine what they want in life and what kind of person they want to become.
Yeah.
So we have programming that supports that, but that's the goal. So we connect with youth through our life skills workshops and events. That's where they begin to meet and engage with mentors.
Yeah.
We try to keep it a really, really family-like atmosphere. Our workshops all take place in a home. We share a home-cooked meal at the end of the evening.
Nice.
So just giving those opportunities for those conversations to take place, for trust to be established.
Yeah.
It's a huge part of what we do. And then we take the motivated youth from those workshops and events and then engage them in those one-on-one mentoring relationships.
Yeah.
And then out of that come opportunities for vocational training and helping the youth to identify what they may want to do for work and as a career. And then also our life resources piece. So how can we come alongside them with help with transportation through our car program, or transitional housing if they need it.
Yeah,
things like that. So,
is there like a timeline for how long you work with them, or is it just kind of as long as they need it?
Yeah.
So we're definitely playing the long game. So each youth's story is different, right?
Yep, yep.
So there's varying lengths of time. But we have some youth who have been in mentoring relationships for over 3 years now.
Yeah.
Our goal That's is so for good. To take place over the long haul. Mentorship is an initial 6-month commitment.
Okay.
So that's what youth and the mentor agree to. And then after 6 months, if something's not working out, they can adjust. But the vast majority opt to continue the mentorship beyond the 6 months.
Yeah.
So,
That's so cool. Just the other... I say just the other day, like it was yesterday, but a little while ago, Brandon and I were actually talking about mentorship and discipleship and how there can be crossover and what we feel like differences are, and just the benefit of having good Christian role models who will step into that place of mentorship, and possibly even kind of crossover to where they are discipling. And I imagine with Inspire Idaho, a lot of that purpose behind making sure they're Christian mentors is so that they can speak into their lives in a spiritual sense as well. Am I reading between the lines, or
you're absolutely right.
Okay.
Obviously our hope for all of the youth is that they come to find their ultimate hope in Jesus and become followers of Jesus. That can be a long process.
Like
a lot of our youth have been hurt by the church or by religious people in the past. We're careful about how we approach it at first. Like we're not ashamed of the gospel in any way. Like we're very open about who we are, but we're not asking youth to pray at our events or things like that, but our goal is to show them the gospel first, by demonstrating the love of Christ in a tangible way. And then once trust is established and they're in that one-to-one mentoring relationship, then that mentor is trained to discern how they can speak into their life, in a way that, that's going to resonate with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have a question, because I think this is good for people to hear, because I'm just reading, I just read some of the stats that are on, you guys have this rotating banner.
The stats that I've seen, you're probably going to hit some of them. These are mind-blowing. Some of these stats are mind-blowing. You got to hear this.
Yeah. So, I want you to maybe kind of dive into some of those. If you haven't remembered, I can read them off the website. I have it pulled up here, too. But just how far impacting the foster care industry and what's going on with foster when they age out of youth and how that affects their whole life and leads into all these other statistics that we're talking about that are outside of what you would normally think of as just being a foster.
Yeah. And you hit you Brandon, you just said a big word, the aging out. How is that, the aging out, how does that tie in with what Inspire Idaho is doing specifically?
Yeah.
And Brandon mentioned, how long are they in the process? What would you say is kind of like your target demographic with Inspire Idaho as far as age range?
Great question. So our target is that aging out bracket. Yeah. So we're unique in that we work with youth both before and after they've aged out. There are other organizations that work with them either before or after. But we do both.
So kind of a bridge there.
The age range that we work with is about 15 to 20. The goal is that we would meet somebody when they're 15, 16, or 17, begin to establish that trust, get them into a mentoring relationship so that they have somebody to walk alongside them as they age out into adulthood, before they reach that critical point. As you guys mentioned, the statistics of what tends to happen to youth when they age out of foster care are really heartbreaking.
Absolutely.
I did bring some of them. So when they age out at 18, 20% become instantly homeless. So they literally have no place.
One out of five.
Yeah.
Just homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. 9 out of 10 enter chronic poverty. 71% of girls who age out will be pregnant by age 21. And then half of their kids will enter foster care.
Wow.
So not only is it affecting the youth that that age out, but it's it's a generational thing that keeps repeating itself.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's the one that really – those kind of things are what really stands out to me, is because it's like if we don't do anything, it just becomes this continuous cycle, and actually becomes it's a growing cycle.
Mm-hmm. Man. We don't do anything.
Absolutely. And then 50% of teens who age out will be incarcerated within 2 years.
Half of them.
Yeah, half of them will end up in jail or prison. And then if you look at the overall prison population, 74% of prison inmates were once in foster care.
So almost three quarters.
Yeah.
Wow.
80% of death row inmates were once in foster care.
Wow. Those are.
And what that kind of speaks to, I feel like, is like just the pain of of being abandoned in that way. And just the hurt that's there, and the hurt that needs to be assessed in some way.
Yeah,
absolutely. And trauma stunts emotional growth too, right?
So
when we're talking about youth who are aging out at 18, like chronologically they are 18, but emotionally with the trauma that they've been through, they might be at the level of a typical like 12 or 13 year old.
But they have to face adult consequences for their not being able to handle their anger.
Yeah. I mean, if you think of it, I mean, you guys remember what it was like to turn 18. Like, that's difficult in the best of circumstances.
Exactly.
And imagine that if you have no support system whatsoever on top of all of this trauma.
Yeah.
And, it's, you can start to understand why we're seeing some of these outcomes in the statistics.
Yeah. Man. And that's, it's interesting just even that idea of, I mean, when you go through the trauma, when you're coming up in that way of life, a lot of times you haven't matured fully emotionally and in different ways that others would have by the time you become an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I was watching a funny movie the other day with my daughters. And in this movie, a gentleman, It's supposed to be a acting scenario, so he knows these people are acting, but he's supposed to, you know, respond to show how he would handle the situation. And he shows up, woman's like, he hit me. And so he walks over to the guy and he says, you like to beat women? And then he just starts smacking them. Don't ever put hands on her again. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? And then that it flashes to the next scene and he's in jail. And so, and my daughter is like, why is he in jail? And I'm like, cause he was just assaulting, hitting that man. She's like, you can go to jail for hitting somebody. And we're like, yes, that's called assault. And so we were explaining, this is why we tell you girls and we teach you girls not to hit each other, siblings, right? Mm-hmm. This is where it happens the most. It usually is siblings. And so we're telling them, you don't hit each other. You don't hit other people, because right now your consequences is us trying to correct you in this home. But when you become an adult, that can lead you in jail. Mm-hmm. You can end up in jail that way. And so I could just kind of see her processing this and her eyes wide open. She's like, wow, realizing how hitting someone can be that serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you don't have, you know, that upbringing where people are helping you learn these things, and you're not able to develop, and you're not mature emotionally and controlling yourself, all of a sudden the consequences that you would have been trained or, you know, raised with understanding and learning how to handle your emotions and deal with these things, you would have been able to get away with those things as kids, possibly. But you don't realize as an adult, you haven't learned to, you know, deal with that behavior. And now the consequences are a lot higher. Mm-hmm. And it could end up where you're, I mean, half of people. That's ridiculous that half end up in jail. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
it's tragic.
It's tragic. And so if you have a passion for prison ministry, helping people, right? If you're one of those people that maybe you don't have a passion for going in there and helping them, but you have a passion for, hey, we're spending too much money on this, right? Like you're thinking, okay, there's something wrong with the prison system and so many people going in. And well, this to me sounds like, okay, this is a way of getting ahead of prison issues. This is a way of getting ahead of death row issues. Mm-hmm. This is a way of getting ahead of the foster care system and adoption being overrun, right? And they're just being too many for quality care. Mm-hmm. Because this is helping to get ahead and stem those for, you know, the years to come. Mm-hmm. If you help a young lady that is aging out of foster care now, then that can stop another child from going into foster care 3 or 4 years down the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a way of you getting ahead of it. So this, I love that with this system.
Yeah. Yeah. When you invest your time into a youth, like you have no idea what the Lord is going to do with that, not only in their life, but for future generations.
Exactly.
It's truly an immeasurable impact.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. Because then you become, as you were saying, I mean, you go from that place of not having the word of God or that type of discipleship and encouragement growing up to where now there is another household of God. Because now these young men and women are becoming leaders of a home, mm-hmm. and they're saying this home will serve the Lord. And so that becomes a complete transformation from one generation to the next. Mm-hmm. You were going to say something, Brandon.
Yeah, I was. One thing I think this should do, and this is more for the back end of it.
Yeah.
Knowing that 74% of the jails are full of people who have been through foster.
Yeah.
And have this trauma in their background should give us a better heart for prison ministry.
Yes.
So that is in ministry. I mean, we need a heart for both, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even just hearing that, I was like, man, if we could look at everybody who's in that situation right now and realize a lot of that comes from previous trauma.
Absolutely.
It could just change our heart because a lot of times I think we think, well, they got what they deserved and they broke the law and all this stuff, which is true. There's punishments for those things. But when we can look past the current situation to the previous hurts, I mean, that's how we should look at everybody, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People that cut you off in traffic, all that stuff. And that's hard to do. But when you kind of when you see a stat like that, you can go, oh, yeah, OK, this happened. They didn't have a loving home growing up.
No.
And so there's a reason behind the behavior. Mm-hmm. And it's not their fault.
Yeah. When you really sit down and hear somebody's story, like it can be really transformational for how you view the person and the level of empathy that you have for them.
Yeah, we don't ask what's your story enough. That's actually one of my favorite things to ask someone is what's your story?
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful thing to do.
No, absolutely. This makes me think of this verse, and I'm gonna flip to it. If there was something else you wanted to ask real quick, Brandon, while I flip to this. I also...
Yeah, sure. While you're looking that up, I could say... One of the questions I want to get to, just because I want to benefit what you guys are doing as much as possible, is how can people join in with you, support what you guys are doing? Because I know we're going to get there eventually. So go ahead and share that with us right now, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're here in the Treasure Valley and you might feel the Lord working on your heart and saying this might be something that you should be involved in. There's so many ways to volunteer and serve with us. Some are a little bit more of a time commitment, like mentoring. Like if you want to jump in life on life with somebody, that's something that you really have to commit to. And we'd certainly equip you for that if you're called to that.
Yeah.
But there's lots of other opportunities to serve as well. So another statistic for you. Almost all of the youth who age out of foster care don't have a driver's license. And so if we we want young people to be able to attend our workshops and events and meet and engage with mentors, that usually means that we have to transport them. So we have a huge need for that right now for just for drivers who are willing to pick youth up, bring them to our events and take them home afterward. That's a huge opportunity, a huge need that we have.
And I have to jump in on that because I want us to seriously consider and think about maybe different job opportunities that we've had, educational opportunities that we've had, and how well we would have been able to fulfill that if we didn't have a means of transportation.
Yeah, it's the things you don't think about. Like as you're learning to drive, like typically you get enrolled in a driver's ed program and your parents add them to their insurance policy. But if you're a foster kid in the system, like what, whose insurance policy are you going to be on?
Exactly.
Like it's, there's all of these barriers.
Which is always a lot more expensive at that age.
Yeah.
Mind you. Yeah. So it's just, I mean, those are obstacles that a support network, a family really helps to overcome that we often don't feel the burden of if we've had that support network. We can kind of gloss over how critical that is towards going towards building a successful life of education, having a job, being able to get around. That's interesting that most of them do not have a license, right, or means of transportation. So
it's so easy to get stuck in a cycle where, okay, I don't have reliable transportation, so I can't get a good job.
Exactly.
But then I can't afford a car and insurance
because
I don't have a job.
You don't have a job, absolutely.
It's so easy to get stuck in that.
And then, I mean, being late, if you're able to even get a job locally, right, or you figure something out, the aspect of being late, you know, a few minutes because you're leaving late because of, you know, it's only a 5-minute drive or 10-minute drive versus now this is a 30-minute walk or like or an hour walk. And I know some people, because every now and again, I don't know why, there's people typing stuff into the comments and I just hear them before they get there. that's how we joke around about it. But I can just imagine someone thinking, oh, well, there's public transportation.
Not everywhere.
Now, not everywhere. And if you're out here in this area, you realize that public transportation isn't like it is in other areas that are already built up. We're starting to get more public transportation, but even what we have now, it is not anywhere compared to what you're going to see in major cities where you can rely on public transportation to get you places on time. It is.
We've seen that firsthand with youth, like coming from, maybe it's Nampa and they have a job in Boise and the itinerary on the bus is literally over 2 hours.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
It'd be a 25-minute drive with a car.
Exactly.
While we're on the issue of transportation, giving rides to and from our workshops and events are a huge way to help. Another way to help is to donate a vehicle for our car program.
Come on now.
So this would be a vehicle that would go to a young person who's in a mentoring relationship, who's working or attending school, and just kind of give them that opportunity to access reliable transportation. They go through a program over 9 months with increasing responsibility and increasing steps that they take, and then at the end of 9 months the car becomes theirs. We're seeking vehicles to be donated for that. We have a mechanic who goes over them and vets them, and
that's so good.
If they're able to be used for the car program, they'll go to that. If not, they'll be sold and the proceeds will go back into Inspire Idaho. That's a huge way that people can help if they have a car that's sitting around that maybe they don't need anymore, or if you're thinking about getting a new car and the dealership isn't offering you much for your trade-in, that's a way that you could really bless the kingdom of God and
absolutely
bless foster youth,
absolutely,
and also get a tax write-off as well.
And let me just go ahead and say the dealership ain't offering you much.
They never
offer you much because they're trying to make a profit off of it, obviously, right? So they lowball so they can, you know, fix it up, turn around, and sell it for more. But that would be an amazing way to bless. And because you guys have a mechanic, sometimes I imagine there's issues that people aren't willing to pay for and fix themselves, mm-hmm. but you put it in the hand of a mechanic, they're like, oh yeah, I can deal with this, because now we're not talking about all the parts and the extra labor, and mm-hmm. it becomes cheaper, you know, for the mechanic to handle than it would have for the previous owner, and they're able to fix it up and get it to somebody in need. So that's, oh man, that's so good.
Yeah,
that is awesome. Right. And that's one of those, I have to say, if you, whether or not you have a vehicle, you're like, hey, this is a worthwhile investment. One of the reasons we're having this conversation is we want to bless Inspire Idaho to be able to continue these types of things. So that if that touches you, I mean, go ahead, follow the link, donate. We'll have a link for Inspire Idaho, and like we said, every dollar will be matched up to 500. Let's get them that $1,000 plus. That's what I'm looking for.
And love that. Thank you guys.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Huge blessing.
Absolutely.
We just say where you're going to put that link, Nathaniel, just so people know where to get to it.
Oh yeah. So yeah, down in our YouTube description, you're always going to find our link tree. And then I will also add an additional link that goes specifically right towards the donation. So they can just donate immediately.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So yeah, I'll circle back just a little bit to other opportunities that we have to serve, because there's a lot, and I really believe that there's a fit for everybody in whatever season of life that they're in. So as I mentioned before, at all of our events, we do a meal. And so we're in need of people to bring food for our workshops and events.
Oh yeah.
And that can look differently. Like we have some like superhero families that'll cook the whole meal for 25 to 30 people by themselves and take that on, which is amazing that they love to do that. We also have a lot of small groups at local churches who will pitch in together where maybe you have a different family contribute a component of the meal.
Yeah, so exactly.
One family does the main, another person does the side dishes, and another family does the desserts. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Perfect potluck, that bad boy. Come on, guys.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a great way to serve, and it doesn't require any like ongoing commitment or any training. Like,
exactly.
You can just connect with me, drop the food off, and know that it went to bless our youth and coaches.
Yeah.
So that's a great easy way for individuals and churches to plug into the ministry.
Yeah. What is the best way for them to connect with you?
Yeah, so you can reach out through our website, inspireid.org. There's a contact us form that goes straight to me. So, just hop on there and I'll get back to you, and we'll find a way to get you plugged in.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is so good.
That's good. And then a couple other opportunities that I'll mention as well that might be a fit for somebody out there. We're developing a short-term transitional housing program.
I was curious about that. I heard you mention transitional housing, and I was going to ask about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this is all about combating that 20% of youth who age out at 18 and have no place to go, right? And we've seen that in our ministry. Like, there's a young man in particular that I'm thinking of who, he was living here, aged out at 18, had no place to go, and he ended up going back to North Idaho to biological family members, which, as you can imagine, was not a good situation.
Which is usually why they were in foster care. Yeah.
From his biological family. And so,
and I have to say, that's something within the foster care, or not within the foster care, within the prison system. Mm-hmm. We would see time and time and time and time again is that people usually had rough backgrounds, rough communities, social networks, families, whatever it may be that they came from. And their biggest downfall to repeating, being a repeat offender, was that they would go right back to, because that's all they had. Mm-hmm. That was their social support. That was their network. They didn't have anything else. Mm-hmm. And so that's they would go back to, and it would end them right back up in jail.
Yeah. And it's easy to think, like, why would you want to go back to that? But then if you have nothing else,
exactly,
that's what's familiar, that's what you've known, then it becomes a an easy decision to make.
Exactly. And sometimes it feels like it's the only decision to make.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Feels like it's your only option. Yeah.
So in light of that, what we're developing now is a network of homes within the area who are willing to take in a young person on a short-term basis.
Yeah.
So
come on now.
They can decide what length of time that they're comfortable with. So it could be as short as 1 to 3 nights, or as long as 45 nights.
Yeah.
But the idea is to buy them some time,
yeah,
in order to find a more stable, long-term place to live.
Yeah.
Because there are wonderful housing organizations for aged out youth in the Treasure Valley. They're good. There's a waiting list.
I was going to say, it probably takes some time to
for sure,
get
the,
in. Yeah.
The demand is far greater than what the supply is.
Exactly.
So, sometimes just buying them some extra time will give them enough time for them to work with their mentor to figure out a more stable, long-term living situation. So that can look a lot of different ways. It could be a spare room in a home. It could be if somebody has an ADU, an accessory dwelling unit on their property. Or it could be even an RV or a trailer.
Yeah.
Many of our youth would love a situation like that where they're able to live semi-independently, but also have a support there on the property.
Come on now.
So if that's a situation that you'd be interested in exploring, I'd be happy to talk with you more about what that looks like as well. And then
come on, our Christian campers, come on, my Christian campers out there.
Yeah.
I know, it's funny because in Idaho, this is one of those things that you hear talked about very regularly that comes summertime, especially the churches take a huge dip, not because people are, you know, out of the state. It's because they're up in the mountains. It's because they're out camping. And if you drive by a storage facility, you are going to see so many RVs and campers just chilling out there. This is one of those things to where, again, I mean, we haven't, you know, pointed too specifically at this, but you know it's coming. This is where unity in the body of Christ, and where we always say it starts with awareness. It's being aware that, okay, we have this and it could be useful in the body of Christ here. In this way. And some of us, you know, God willing, like we talked about, Brandon will have his boat in the future, and I'll have my my RV in the future, right? But, you know, I don't have one yet, but many of us do, right? Mm-hmm. Many of us have those RVs, those campers, and they're just sitting there for a long time. They're sitting there. And I would even go so far as to challenge you, can you give up a summer? Even if it is, if it's prime camping time, I'm challenging you. Would you be willing to give up one summer of your recreational fun to possibly change the life of a young man or woman coming out of foster care and use that for the kingdom of God and impacting somebody's life in this way where you're giving them a safe place to stay? So that's, I mean, it starts with awareness, guys, and that's one of the reasons why we're having this conversation. It's little things like that. A car, that's our hoopty car that we don't use very much, but it's the backup, right? It's that RV that we use, you know, a handful of times during the year, but it can be literally become somebody's life-changing home. And it's those times. It's that making a meal, you know, where some of us love to cook and we're looking for an excuse, right? We have a legitimate reason to make some food here.
In many churches, there's a lot of like, where do I want to serve, but I don't know where.
Come on now.
And this one just seems like there's so many opportunities.
Yes.
Yes. For somebody. I actually wanted to ask, cause you didn't talk about it specifically, but I know this is probably something, what would you say to like the older generation, like the grandmas and grandpas out there, how could they help? Because some people might say, well, I'm too old to do that or whatever. What are some maybe things that an older generation person could do?
You talk about unity. Like, I feel like age is a huge part of that.
Come
on. You're never too young or too old to go to work in the kingdom.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
We have some mentors who are in their 70s, and our youth just love them.
Yes.
Like, they're some of the first people that they're eager to connect with.
It's like, having that grandpa, that grandma that you never had, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember being in a young adult group. The first young adult group I really connected with was down in Texas. And we had this older couple who, I mean, they had to be in their 70s at least, but they were this older couple, and the young adult group is for, you know, 18 to 30-ish, but they're coming and they're hanging out, and they were just part of the young adult group, and everybody loved them. They were like the grandma and the grandpa of the young adult group.
So cool.
And so, I mean, they even hosted one of the small groups, and everybody loved it. And they were like these artsy, you could tell, like they got down in the 70s type people. And so it was just, yeah, I feel like young adults are more inclined to connect there, especially in situations where they didn't have the grandma and grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
And now somebody can kind of step in and be that cross, you said it, that cross generational ministry, that is so important for unity within the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Too often we try to segment and just break apart into age groups, and having that cross generational ministry is so important.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, and there's so much valuable like life experience and wisdom that they bring. Like not only like the older ones, but also just the people who have gone through the phase of parenting teenagers.
Yes.
Like there's so much experience that they bring. Like, yeah, there's situations that we deal with the youth where let's go like. What is happening? I don't know what to do with this.
And it's cool seeing those
parents who have gone through like those teenage years with their own kids, just how they just take it in stride. Like nothing rattles them because they've been through now.
They've been through the lion's den. This ain't nothing.
It's cool to see how God equips people like in each phase of life to be able to speak into the lives of youth.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh man. Something that I've noticed within cross-generational ministry too, is that when younger people get around older generations, that breathes new life sometime into older generations.
Yeah.
Sometimes
it's beneficial both ways.
Yeah. It goes both ways. It's definitely beneficial both ways. And there is this vigor and this just life that sometimes younger people, and seeing positive growth, especially seeing growth in Christ in them, seeing them grow to understand and believe, just grow closer to, how that can really light a fire in some of our older disciples. I think that's so great. One of the things that I have to, before I forget about this, because I forgot about it earlier, something that you mentioned was bringing those mentors in, and just those mentorship relationships that they have with these youth. And it made me think of how we do not just disciple people after they're saved, but we disciple them towards Christ. Where they're at, and their walk with God, having that type of relationship enables you to where you're able to start sowing seed and discipling them towards Christ, not just waiting for them to be saved. So now I can start the discipleship, but you disciple them towards Him.
Yeah.
And so I think that's that, man. You struck my heart when you said we are a highly relational and mentorship program that for the youth that really relies on that relationship. People have heard me say it 100 times. It's the relationship is where it's at. That's where discipleship and true life change happens.
Yeah, I got to tell a story now.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's the first person.
Yes, please do.
the first person who was mentored through Inspire Idaho.
Yeah.
This was a young man who we met when he was 16.
Okay.
So this is back in 2021. Like,
okay.
Right as organization was getting off the ground.
Nice.
Highly motivated young man.
Yeah.
His mentor just walked through different aspects of life with him, helped him to finish high school, and then begin to explore vocational interest. And in that process, brought up the gospel multiple times, brought up that he was praying for his mentee. And there just wasn't any reciprocation there. And this mentor had a lot of patience and just kept moving forward. It's like, okay, let's focus on this for right now. Mm-hmm. Like you want to finish high school. Like let's accomplish that goal and figure that out. And then 2.5 years into this mentor relationship, the mentor was asking one of the questions that we ask a lot, like, what is it that you want? What's next for you? And this young man said, I want to work on my relationship with God.
Come on now.
It was like an answer come to on now. 2.5 years
yeah.
of prayer.
Oh, but, that gives me chills. Yeah, that just yeah. gives me chills. That is, yes.
Yeah.
Without that type of relationship, you don't get that. Being able to stick mm-hmm. in there for the long haul and sow seed time and time again. Yeah. That, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think, and it's important to point out, it took him 2.5 years. So, like,
yes.
yeah.
if you're thinking of getting into this and it's going to be quick, it may not be. But man, that reward at the end, holy cow.
Come
that's,
on.
That's such a reward to know that you poured that prayer and time into God's purpose, and then someone got to know who he was and desired to know who he was because of it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
powerful. Oh. Yeah. It just shows it's the Lord's work and not yeah. ours, you know, and that won't be the story every time. Mm-hmm. But we can celebrate it when God
exactly.
works in that way and when he chooses to work through us absolutely. In that way. And that led to just a journey of discipleship that young man and that mentor are still on. So they began reading scripture together.
Yeah.
And this young man did decide to become a follower of Jesus. And now they're kind of going through like, okay, what does that look yeah. like on a day-to-day basis to walk with Jesus through life?
And, that is so cool. Yeah, oh, man, yeah. that's so cool. Okay, I have to read this. I have to read this. Mm-hmm. I turned to it a little while ago, and this is James chapter 1. Some of you guys may have heard this before, but it's James chapter 1, verse 27. I have to say, James is considered like the Proverbs of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. He pulls a lot from Jesus' teachings, especially the Sermon on the Mount, Beatitudes types of deal, and from the book of Proverbs. And it's just a lot of these like short, you know, 1-2 verse, hit them to the heart, punch to the throat type of deals, just like you get in Proverbs. And so right here, verse 27, it says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." And before that, he's saying how if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives himself. So he's talking about like this is you may think you're there. You may think you're religious because you do these things or that things. And then he goes on to say this is what God the Father sees as pure and undefiled religion. Mm-hmm. To visit the widows and orphans in their distress, mm-hmm. in their affliction. And so much of what we're talking about here when we're talking about these youth that are in foster programs and have been coming up through foster programs, that means that they've had an absence of parents in their life.
Yeah, in our context, they are the orphans.
They are
in
the
our
orphans.
Society. Yeah.
Absolutely. They yeah. are the orphans of our society. And what's so interesting about this is a lot of those statistics, you're going to see there's a similar vein of statistics for those who especially do not have a male role model, mm-hmm. who don't have a father figure in their life. And that when you look at the language of this in the Greek, those that are orphans, it's those that are without a father. Mm-hmm. And so one of the reasons I bring that up is because this is a big challenge here, not just for youth males, but for youth women as well, for girls and for boys that are growing up this way. That father, having that father figure is so fundamental and so important to their identity and their discipline and how they grow and mature, that sometimes when we look at kids that maybe they have a female role model in their life or even a mother in their life, but they're lacking the father, we don't consider them an orphan. But we need more male role models mm-hmm. in these young people's lives. Mm-hmm. And so I just bring that up because I think when it comes to this, it can be so easy, especially for our lady disciples, like for their heartstrings to be pulled and for them to jump in. But I really want to challenge our men out there mm-hmm. that this is what God the Father says is undefiled and pure religion before him. Mm-hmm. this is what he calls the body of Christ to be there for the widow and the orphan. And sometimes we need to step into that role of being a good male role model, mm-hmm. and taking ownership of, I will be there for him. I will be a male role model. I will be like a father to him. I will be a father figure, if he so allows me to, and making sure that we don't have these youth that are coming up through foster care, we don't have them feeling orphaned, but as though the body of Christ has adopted them.
Yeah. And that's beautiful. Yeah. And that's, yeah, something if for those who do end up volunteering, yeah, and coming to our events, like, it's a beautiful thing to see, like, with, both men and women, but especially with the men, when you have all these young men with our youth who are, used to kind of fighting and clawing to be the dominant one, uh-huh, in whatever space that they might be in, which if they've been in juvenile detention, uh-huh, or different places like that, it really fosters that that mindset. Then they come to our events, and we just have a lot of strong male mentors there.
Yeah.
It's really a beautiful thing to see, because when those men are present, then it gives the youth, the young men, freedom to just be boys.
Exactly.
It's a beautiful thing to really see them open up in that way, and to feel that feeling of safety with the adults. We try really hard at all of our events to have a 1-to-1 adult to youth ratio.
Wow.
And
that is so cool.
Yeah. It goes along with the highly relational piece.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And just making sure every youth is seen and engaged with.
That's so cool.
And I know we're close on time.
Yeah.
And I know this is probably something you guys do, but just want to clarify what your guys' role as far as supporting the mentors is.
Yeah, absolutely. So we walk alongside them every step in the way So the first step is a 10-week mentor training. So it's a pretty intense process, but it's so worthwhile.
Yeah. Like
the first half of it is just a really cool deep dive on the gospel and just making sure that we're finding our identity in Christ and not in any response or lack thereof that we might get from our mentee.
Yeah.
Come on. Talked about, it's the Lord that's doing the work, and our step is obedience and faithfulness in their life. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, I think I would encourage, people who are considering being a mentor, because at first you'll be like, well, that sounds like a lot of work. But recognize that it also will be a work on you.
Yes.
There's something that happens through doing that kind of thing that actually will change you in incredible ways and allow God to change you as a possible mentor, as you are changing the life of the mentee.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's,
throw it out there,
when you put in a lot of work, you get more out.
Yeah.
I think so often we want to settle for things that have lower expectation and lower demand, but then we want the things that cost high expectation and high demand. Everybody wants to be a pro athlete. Not everybody wants to put the work in that it takes to be a pro athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be the best in something. Not everybody's willing to put the work in that it takes to be the best in something. Yeah. Most believers want to be someone who would be considered a good disciple of Christ and that does what he does, right? And is able to disciple and has discipled others in a meaningful way. But not every believer is willing to put in that work. And I think I think it's great that you guys have this 10-week course. And that may come off and sound like pretty demanding, but it's because you're being called to such an important work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's worth that investment. Mm-hmm. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Consider that an investment into the kingdom and know that there is great reward for that. Mm-hmm. Because like Brandon said, that's going to grow you. That makes you better able to grow and invest in others and disciple others, whether that's the one you end up mentoring or other family and friends and youth that you come across. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just going to help you grow as a disciple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's.
And rely on God, because.
Come on.
What I'm trying to do is remove the barriers. That's why I'm asking these questions.
Yeah.
Because I know that oftentimes you'll hear something like this and it sounds really like, yeah, I want to help. I want to do that. But then those fears of like, well, it's going to be too much of a time commitment, I'm not going to be prepared enough. I don't really have, I'm not a good mentor, or whatever it might be. I want to remove all those, because I think in the process, God will equip you, because you're walking out, you're taking a step of faith in trying to do God's will, which is that, I mean, take care of the widows and orphans, like you said. Yeah. And so, so I just want to encourage those that might be listening that are kind of thinking about maybe doing it, but then also are already putting up roadblocks that don't do that. Because God will equip you, and it sounds like they will equip you. And that's kind of what I want to hear is like 10 weeks of training. Awesome. Cause that's what you need. Yeah. That's what you need to go into this situation, and that they'll walk alongside you as you're going through it too. And I'm sure they have mentor gatherings and all those kind of things to help that process too, I assume.
It is one-on-one mentoring, but it's a highly collaborative environment. Yeah. So we stay close to our mentors as a staff team. We have a mentoring coordinator who does an amazing job with that.
Nice.
And then, we talk and support and problem solve together. Yeah. So, you're never just alone on an island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Nice. Which I want to, this just came to my mind that I want to speak to somebody that may feel like, man, I love this program. I have a heart for foster care, for youth. And I want to help positively impact in this way. But you're nowhere near Idaho. Mm-hmm. Like you're nowhere near, right? Again, we challenge you guys to, put your treasure where your heart is, be part of that matching and giving. You can give in that way, but you also may be somewhere where it's like, no, I want to get my hands dirty. Mm-hmm. And I just want to drop this in your head real quick, because you may think, well, that's not out here. You know, we don't have that out here. Yeah, you don't, but maybe you need to start looking at what would it take for us to get that out here. How can I be part of helping to make this happen, whether that's in Montana or Texas or New York or Florida or wherever, in Virginia, wherever you may be. Maybe you're up in Canada, wherever you're at, in the U.S., around the world, even, because we need this around the world. Maybe you're thinking, wow, that's amazing. I wish we had something like that here. That may be something you need to start looking into. Hey, how do we make this happen? I imagine if they went onto your guys' website and they used the contact form, they're like, hey, how can we make this happen here?
Oh, yeah.
That would, man, I imagine that'd probably be music to your guys' ears.
Definitely. Yeah. Part of our goal is to make Inspire Idaho a scalable and reproducible organization that can be replicated in other areas. Nice. So we'd absolutely love to connect with you if you have a heart for starting something like this wherever you're at.
Come on now. All right.
And I imagine there are other organizations that do similar things in other places too. So look for those.
Yep.
But I love what you said. I mean, this could be a call. This could be a call that someone's been waiting for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And pray for the ministry too. Like we believe prayer is the foundation for effective ministry.
Come on now.
No matter where you are, you can pray for us.
And yeah.
Yeah. We actually have a prayer team that very intentionally prays into the lives of our youth.
And
we have people from all over the country on that, which is
so cool. Awesome. Yeah. Oh yes. So. That would be really cool to be a part of. Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, like you said, people from all over the country, maybe they're not close, but they're like, I love what they're doing. I want to support that, be a part of it. Mm-hmm. Man, you're right. Prayer is needed for effective ministry. That's one of those things that, again, can go under the radar, that sometimes we don't realize how much prayer goes into effective ministry. But somebody is always praying before a move of God. And so to be a part of that, as God is moving through Inspire Idaho, I think that'd be amazing. So definitely check out Inspire Idaho's website, see if you can be a part of that, check out, follow those links below, give towards the matching, check out their website and see how else you can be a part of making this ministry continue.
Yeah, help us get to that $1,000. Come on.
Yeah, baby. Absolutely. Absolutely. Every dollar will be doubled up to 500, which we're hoping to hit 1,000 at least here. So that would be great. Any final words, final thoughts, especially as far as how really ministering to these youth is a collaborative effort, or is best as a collaborative effort within the church, how unity within the church for these youth helps it go, you know, a lot longer, a lot better, I should say.
Oh, man. Yeah. Unity is a huge part of what we do. And I wish we had more time to get into this. But part of what I get to do is I'm engaging with potential volunteers as I get to visit different churches around the valley who want to engage with us. And so I see all kinds of different churches and different worship styles. And I get a really cool opportunity to get some insight and and how, man, we're all following Jesus.
Yeah.
And it might look a little different, but what unifies us at Inspire Idaho is the mission. And I think Jesus' mission, like the Great Commission.
Come on now.
Like that's that's so unifying. Like if we're focusing on what he has for us and the calling that he's placed on our lives, like we don't have time to argue about
the differences.
Who we're voting for or any of that.
Of that
lesser secondary stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful that I get to be a part of a group of like-minded people from different churches, like maybe different styles of worshiping the Lord, but who are unified by the mission of Inspire Idaho.
We
want to engage foster youth and help them to flourish as adults.
I love that, because I think you know, we've talked a lot about how churches don't need to be, every church doesn't need to have every ministry. So a church might not have that as their main ministry, but I think every church has people in their congregation that can help foster youth. And so just being aware of it and announcing it, if you're a church member and you have any kind of leadership where you could put something like this into your announcements, I think just letting people know that this opportunity is there is a unified thing that we could all, if we could all pool together, all the churches, there is enough people to help mentor all the youth that we're just not doing it because people don't know about it or it's not their church's main focus. And that's fine. It doesn't have to be their church's main focus, but if we could just come unified and say, this is a need that's really important. And look at all these statistics that come from this, like how much change can we have in the world over something like this?
I mean, you just think about if every church had one person who was passionate enough to say, we're going to be involved in this. You don't, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be one of the main ministries of the church and they're sending, you know, hundreds of people over there. If every church was just had one person that said, hey, I will represent our church in this ministry in this way and serving foster youth, the amazing impact that would have on this generation. I mean, man, wow. It doesn't take, like you said, Brandon, doesn't take, you know, a whole big church rally behind it, but just making it aware, making everyone aware that this is something that we can step into, that you can step into, and that the church is going to say, bless you on that and say, go do it. That makes a big difference. And so, man, I love that. I love that. So I think we should close in a word of prayer for Inspire Idaho.
Definitely.
And like we said, thank you guys so much for and spread this word, share it with family and friends. You may have a heart for fostering youth, and you may feel like, man, I have a heart for it and I would foster, but I'm not in a position to foster right now. But you can still bless youth who are going through foster care, which tends to be some of the hardest demographic, because when they start getting up into, you know, older kids and teens, they're a whole lot less likely to find a family.
Yeah. And as they get bigger, the behaviors tend to get bigger too.
Exactly. Yeah. And so this is such an important demographic of foster care to be able to minister to. And so maybe you can't offer your home right now and you can't foster somebody, but you can help them get a home as they're aging out. You can help them get life skills. You can help them have a mentor by partnering with Inspire Idaho. Yeah, you can bring them food or you can help them get food, right? By engaging and partnering with Inspire Idaho, being part of this matching giving and checking out Inspire Idaho's website to just be a part of what they're doing. That's one of those things, like Brandon always says, not every church has to have the ministry, but if we can rally around the good ones that are there already, and I wholeheartedly stand by Inspire Idaho is one of those good ones. So let's rally around it. All right. So let's close in a word of prayer. And
I invite you out there, everybody who's listening right now, to actually say a prayer with us as we're praying for him.
Yes.
So that they get us covered in as much prayer as possible.
Absolutely. Father, we just thank you so much for your heart and what you're doing. When we come across ministries like this, when we come across organizations like this that are blessing orphans in the name of Christ, that are helping to provide mentorship with biblical backing and sowing seed to help them grow in relationship with you, that are just showing, that are being the hands and feet as you've called us to be a light in this world and making the world a better place. Father, we just thank you so much because this is what you're doing. This is your heart. This is you at work through your people. And you're the one that really brings the transformation and the change. And so, Father, we just lift up all the youth who are connected to Inspire Idaho right now. We lift up the ones who have been connected in the past, who have had those seeds sown, who have been given mentorship. We lift up the ones who are coming. And we just ask, Father, that you would grow abundant fruit in their life, fruit of salvation, fruit of your spirit, Father, fruit that the world can taste and see that you are good from. And we pray, Father, that you would bless and anoint those that are part of Inspire Idaho, like Andrew, like John, and all the people who are helping as part of volunteers, that are part of the team. Father, all the mentors, we thank you. All those that are doing anything to help further this ministry, we ask, Father, your blessing and your anointing upon them. Father, that they would find themselves just in awe and in wonder and how you are going before them and preparing what you're doing. Father, that you're throwing doors open, that you are making provisions, that you are making a way to bless these youth and draw them towards you. We thank you so much. We ask, Father, that you would help us and just unifying around this mission and what you're doing here and blessing the orphan and blessing those youth who are in foster and being a light in this world that can bring true transformation. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I just want to add something to that. Lord, I just pray for anybody listening who might be feeling that little bit of calling on their heart, God. I pray that you water that and that you bring those mentors that this organization desperately needs and all organizations need across the country. And God, I just pray that you water it, that you give them confidence in that you will be with them through that process and grow them as well. And young or old, and God, I just want to put that in there because I know that there's some of the older generation that's thinking they can't do it, but they can. And so I don't know who that's for, but God, I just pray for mentors to show up on their doorstep so that that more kids can find hope in this organization. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Andrew. Man,
thanks, guys.
This was great. Yeah,
it's amazing.
All right.
Nice to meet you, man.
Yep.
Yeah, you too.
All right. See you guys. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Thank you so much for joining us on the In Hope podcast today. Remember to like, subscribe, share, join this conversation and invite others to this conversation.
And if you would like to be a part of our ministry moving forward, we would love to have you jump on our support team. And you can find that on the website.